and welcome to The Ordinary Knitter, the knitting podcast that's mostly about the projects. This week, obsolete hand knits, two steps forward, one step back on Hertz, and my first dressmaking venture. Hello, this is episode 46 of The Ordinary Knitter. My name is Heather. You can find me on Instagram at The Ordinary Knitter, on Twitter as The Ord Knitter, and on Ravelry as Ordinary Knitting. I apologise if I sound like I'm coming to you from the wrong end of an extremely long drain today. I've had all sorts of problems with the machine I normally use, and I've been losing things and having all sorts of oddities, which took an awful lot of faffing around to try and sort out last week, and the long and short of it is I'm still missing various folders. So I decided I wasn't going to risk this to that machine. So I've come away upstairs with my laptop in the hopes that I'll get some decent sound quality in here. So thank you very much for your tolerance of my ongoing technical problems. What do you do with obsolete hand knits? Now, when I say obsolete, I mean it in the sense of something that just has no purpose anymore. This came up in Knitting Hour on Twitter a couple of weeks ago. This is 7:30 to 8:30 on a Thursday evening, hashtag Knitting Hour. And as I know I've said before, I often fail to turn up because it clashes with my 8-year-old's bedtime. But it was raised as an issue in Knitting Hour recently, and it was very topical for me because I had just tidied up my yarn cupboard in my office. It had really got the better of me. I had got to that stage, there's probably a technical term for it in physics, but that point where things are staying put only because they're all kind of exerting force on each other. It was like some sort of untidy honeycomb arrangement where things got wedged. I think that's probably what it was. Things were just wedged. And I was getting to the stage where I couldn't tell what I had or how much of anything that I had. And the other Saturday morning, I don't know really quite what got into me, because I'm not normally terribly productive on Saturday mornings, but I just got on with it for whatever reason. Have a suspicion I might have been looking for something. That's usually it, isn't it? You're looking for a certain thing. You think, I know I had I know I had one that was pink or 20 inches long or whatever it is, and you go hunting, and it just got the better of me. So I just took everything off the top, took everything out, tried to group all the oddy soddy little balls of this and that. And the long and short of it is, now that I've had a really good tidy up and sort out, it was very, very satisfying. The cupboard looks a lot better now. I've put my stash in there more or less in order from 4-ply to super chunky. This is the theory that sort of works in my mind. I've also put out a few balls of yarn. We have a shop, I meant to say, in Leinster, takes these for sort of day centre activities. And also, it's a wonderful shop actually. It's called Echo, and it stands for something like Extra Choices in Herefordshire, I think, something like that. It used to be called that, now called Clever Betsy. Anyway, it's a treasure trove. If you're ever in Leinster for any reason and you're a craftsy person, I don't think they do much to do with drawing, but they do all sorts of knitting and sewing and crocheting and felting sorts of things. They get given donations of everything under the sun, and so they have this wonderful collection of old patterns, buttons, equipment, yarns, old books and magazines, all to do with knitting and sewing and so on. It's dangerous, quite frankly. Everything in there is quite cheap. I couldn't tell you how many pairs of circulars I picked up in there a few years ago. 50p a go. They're not my first choice of knitting or of circulars these days, but at the time I didn't know if this was going to be a flash in the pan, and they were fantastic. And now there's one pair in particular that I do find I often have to go to in an emergency. Obviously that's a gap in my equipment selection that needs plugging this Christmas. But in there, they're always happy to take donations, so I've put some things aside that I just know I'm not going to knit with. And you know, we have to be rational with ourselves and objective sometimes, and know that however lovely something might look, you know you're just never going to use it. So My yarn is now ordered. It's all grouped. I know how much I've got of each thing, and I can tell whether I've got enough for a sweater of something or what have you, particularly with the yarns that I would use for larger projects. So for me, that would be sport weight, DK, and Aran. I can see clearly how much I've got and of what colours and so on. And this whole exercise has shown me that I definitely have no more room for yarn and I have an awful lot of knitting to do. But as I was doing this, I was hoofing out all these projects that had gone so far and no further. And usually it's not so much that they're unfinished works in progress, it's more that I had an idea and I knitted something as an experiment and felt it didn't work out. So I did quite a lot about 18 months ago trying to chart out a pattern for a local heritage place in Leinster because I was going to do Christmas baubles with just a sort of outline of this building picked out. And I did kind of get there with it actually. It wasn't bad, but of course then I had the whole thing of wanting to knit onto polystyrene balls because I wasn't happy with the shape that baubles were coming out. Anyway, so with one thing and another, they sort of got abandoned. So I've got all sorts of swatches for that, and I've got unstuffed other baubles. I also found something that I made for a relative and clearly didn't give them, which is a little bit upsetting. And this would have been from several years ago, so I don't quite know what I'm going to do about that. I suppose another opportunity should arise, but I don't know. Have to see what I think nearer the time. But I found a couple of tablet cases, and these are really what I mean by obsolete. I know some people do use tablets, but not many people that I know. Most people of my acquaintance will use their phone, or then at home they'll use the laptop, and that just seems to be the technical bent of the people that I know. We used to have tablets, but we just don't use them anymore. We don't have really, they just don't fulfill a function for us. So these tablet cases are going begging, and there's a kind of a sentimental value because a tablet case was the first thing that I made when I got back into knitting. My whole reason for getting, or the catalyst for getting back into knitting, I think, was it now 4 or 5 years ago, my mother booked myself and her into a knitting workshop, which was part of the Three Choirs Festival. The Three Choirs Festival goes between Hereford, is it Hereford, Gloucester, and is it Worcester? I'm sorry if you're shouting at me because it's Bath or something, but my apologies. Anyway, I certainly know that Hereford is one of the cities it visits. And it visits on I think it's a 3-yearly basis. I don't know if they have one every year, but I think that's basically how it works. And this was great fun. And we made this tablet case, but I don't know whether you could strictly call it knitting because the entire pattern was knit one, slip one. And it took me 3 or 4 goes to actually get this right and end up with a proper tablet case that didn't have an incorrect stitch somewhere in the middle that meant you couldn't open it. It was like a miracle. You just made this thing, and when you'd cast off, it was just magically opened. It was incredible. And the thing that really surprised me and made me realise that I was onto something is that every time I realised I'd gone wrong, if it was just too far back for me to try to put right, I started again. And I started again, and I started again, and I must have literally taken 4 or 5 goes to knit a whole tablet case. And then I realised that I could alter the number of stitches that I cast on for different sizes of tablet. And this was all setting wheels in motion that have brought me to where I am a few years later. So for that reason, these tablet cases do have a they have a value to me in some way. However, because I'm also of quite a thrifty and practical turn of mind, I did consider just unravelling them and reusing the yarn. But to be fair, one of them, I wouldn't reuse it. It was a neon green that my daughter had asked for when she was about 11 or 12, and I can't see me using that for anything else. The other is a black wool, which my husband had asked for his tablet. Of course, he had a bigger tablet than anybody else. So I specifically got this black yarn. Don't know if you heard the motorbike there, they're not doing 40 miles an hour. I specifically got this black yarn with quite a lot of wool in it, which was okay to knit with, but I wouldn't want to wear it because I wanted something quite tough and sort of hard wearing for the type of abuse that a tablet would get, you know, my husband carting it around all over the place with him. So that was one suggestion. Quite a few people, in fact, said that they did just unravel things that they didn't need or they didn't want anymore. But someone else made what I thought was an excellent suggestion, which is to donate them to charity. It's such an obvious thing, but it hadn't occurred to me. Of course, I go along, not as often as I should, but I go along to this charity knitting group, so I'll have an ah about whether I'm really happy to see them go or whether it feels like I'm giving away one of my children, but I might well give these to the wool pack. Progress with Hertz. As you may have noticed, I didn't pod last Tuesday as I would normally have done. I just had too much else going on. I didn't have a lack of anything to say, it won't surprise you to hear, but I just had too many other commitments. Anyway, it's Sunday afternoon at the moment. The children are busy, so I'm sneaking off while I can. So if I had podded on Tuesday, I would have said that the end was clearly in sight. I'd completed all the shaping. Hertz is a V-neck sport weight top. It's a raglan and it's knit from the top down. So I had made all of the top part, all of the body, and I was coming down towards the hem. As I had gone along and done the shaping on the torso, I had come across the lifted increase. That was a new experience. So I found two videos for that, one for doing it knit, one for doing it purl. So I'll include links to those. So I got to the point where I had to continue stocking stitch in the round until I wanted to stop to do the hem parts. You've basically got the choice. I mean, you could make it knee length if you really wanted to. So the idea is you do your stocking stitch until you reach a certain point. And in the pattern, she gives you two alternatives. She says either from a certain point, either knit for 9 centimetres or 6 centimetres shorter than you want the finished item to be. And it's worth knowing at this stage that you've been knitting in the round and then you split and you work flat and you work the front and the back hems separately so that you have a slight sort of inverted V as your side seams split, one to the front, one to the back, which is part of the design. So I measured this top as far as I'd gone against an existing top. And I could see that it was a little shorter, and even with the extra 6 centimetres, I could see that it was going to be a little shorter. But I thought, that's okay, you know, this is it's a lighter summer top. I don't want it to be long and flappy. I wasn't knitting a dress. I wanted it to be a top to wear with a skirt. And for me, when I wear a summer skirt, you know, I like a bit of coverage. I'm not baring my midriff anymore, but I don't need it to be bottom length. So I thought, you know, for what I want it for, that'll be okay. But really, I made a silly mistake. I should have known better, because I tried it on and I immediately knew it was too short. But back to the beginning. So these hem parts are knitted flat, front and back separately. They have this nice shaping on the edge. When I first moved from the knitting in the round to knitting flat, I thought I'd misinterpreted the instructions, particularly around this particular pearl row. But actually it worked out. It has I-cord edging, and for the bind off, you knit 2 and then you do SSK. And then you slip those stitches back onto your left needle and you do the same again. But of course, you're pulling your yarn to knit your first stitch. You're pulling your yarn from 3 stitches in on your needle, on your left needle. So you're creating an I-cord effectively. But it was a nice effect. I did that. So the instructions are that you finish all of the hem before you finish the sleeves. So this was the point at which I tried it on. I was partway through one of the sleeves during the evening, and it got to bedtime, and curiosity just got the better of me. I just had to try it on, because I'd bound off and everything all around the hem. I didn't need to worry anymore. I had stitches, I had sleeve stitches on a marker or on a circular or something, but that was okay, I could manage with that. Must have been on circular. I think I'd finished one sleeve, and the other was still on the circulars, but that was okay. So I took it up with me and tried it on, and I just knew, even though I'd wanted it to be shorter, this was too much shorter than I'd wanted, and which, you know, I had suspected that this was the case. So there I am, cross with myself, because I should have obeyed my instincts. And I had to go back, and after I'd finished the sleeves, I unpicked the hem, purely and simply. I chronicled this on Twitter yesterday, on Saturday. I had a rather unexpected, sort of clear couple of hours. The children were off amusing themselves. My husband's been away this weekend, and I just had this quiet couple of hours. But to be fair, I needed it. It was quite an involved exercise, partly because the front and back are knit as two separate pieces. I had to do them separately. I had to do the bit for the front and then I had to do the bit for the back. So I had to unpick this sort of curious I-cord SSK combination bind off. And then the part that I was frogging back to was where knitting in the round had given way to knitting separately, which in a way was an absolute blessing because in theory it made it really easy to see how far back I needed to go. But of course nothing's ever that simple and I kept getting it slightly wrong. I ended up overall about two rows further back than I'd intended, which all things considered was not bad. Even though it took me ages and it was piggy to do, I did at the end feel I'd actually ended up with a better end result than any time I've done this previously. Plus I think it was really worth it, because I can imagine otherwise always putting that top back in the drawer and so thinking, ah, no, that top's a bit short. And that's silly. You know, I've bought the pattern, I've chosen the yarn, I've gone to all the trouble of knitting it, although in fact it's really quite a quick knit, despite the fact that it's quite small needles, fairly thin yarn. It knitted up quite quickly, so I was strict with myself, if you like, and it was like, no, I'm going to lengthen it, I'm going to unpick the bits. So I put in a lifeline first, which again went surprisingly well. One of the real issues I had frogging it is that this yarn splits, but it also catches on itself. It sort of forms those little fur balls that stick two bits of yarn together that have no business being next to each other and give you knots and tangles and sometimes pulling. It all behaved a bit oddly, really. I didn't really understand in the end why the stitches and yarn were behaving as they were. It must have been something to do with the shaping and so on, but I don't know why. I was a bit puzzled in the end that the hem sort of actually came away as a piece. I don't know why. I hadn't expected that to happen. I hadn't expected it to actually come away, but then I suppose having gone from knitting in the round to knitting flat, if I don't think about it too hard, I can see how that works. If I start trying to really understand how the yarn and the stitches behave, no, I get completely boggled. And as I pulled this bottom piece away, it was like pulling melted cheese with all these fibres that didn't want to come away. And a couple of times I had to literally snip the catches apart. But anyway, we got there and now it's all my stitches are nicely back on their circular and I've knitted two or three rounds since then. And I just have to keep going now until I'm happy with the length. Knitting the sleeves was interesting. They'd been on a holder. I think I mentioned last time that I managed to stab myself quite viciously in the thumb with one of the stitch holders. That was one of my new ones. They're nice and small and they're much less in the way. On the other sleeve, I had a big old stitch holder. But again, I like it. It's one that's a very elongated horseshoe with a kilt pin type fastening. But to my utter horror, when I came to restore the stitches to the needles from that large old stitch holder, I could see that it had come undone and spilt a few stitches. But I rescued them. Actually, they were surprisingly well behaved. Perhaps that's a virtue of the fact that this yarn catches on itself a bit. It's less willing to let a stitch go. But I suppose that's what I get for buying my yarn in Aldi. So I put the stitches back on. The sleeves are knitted in two parts. Each sleeve has a left and a right. And then when you've knitted one half and you start the other half, depending, you do it slightly differently for the left and the right sleeves. There's a twiddly little operation that you do before you begin the second half. It's a bit curious, really. I'm not going to try to describe it because I'm not going to succeed. But the aim of this is that you end up with a little heart-shaped sort of nip out of the edge of the sleeve that faces out, which is quite pretty. I've never come across anything like that before. I didn't really understand exactly what I was meant to be doing because there's room for vagueness there, definitely. But it essentially worked out. The sleeves are knitted in reverse stocking stitch, and that toyed with my head. It was so odd getting used to the purl side being the right side, and it did give me pause for thought a couple of times when I was on the decrease rounds in particular. I caught myself doing it, so I was able to undo it, but once or twice I decreased on the wrong side, because that was the normal stocking stitch side, and without having engaged brain fully, I was just, you know, happily decreasing on what was actually the wrong side. But every time I did it probably 4 or 5 times, I realised, and I was only dealing with sort of something silly like 40 or 50 stitches anyway at that point, so it wasn't a problem to go back. And again, this bind off is the same as for the hem. You do this sort of I-cord SSK combination, which gives you a nice little sort of slightly rolled hem. When I had tried on the sort of completed body, I did notice, though, and I can see just as I handle it, that the edge is rolling up quite a lot, and it doesn't do that in the picture. So not quite sure what that's about, but that's another reason to make sure that I do give it at least enough length and then a bit, so that if it is going to roll up a wee bit, it's not going to end up exposing bits that I'd rather remained safely hidden away. So now I'm back to knitting stocking stitch in the round for a few inches, but that's okay. It's pretty mindless stuff. I'd like to think I'll get it done this week. The hem was quite quick once I got on with it, but it was this I-cord SSK bind-off takes quite a long time because there's a good 300 plus stitches, 350, 360. And if you think to decrease every single one of those stitches, you knit two, SSK, and then put your needles back, or your stitches back on the left needle. So the binding off takes absolutely ages. When I was knitting flat again, when I'd gone from knitting the body to starting the hems, and for whatever reason I was looking at the inside of the work, it was really obvious to see the difference in tension between the parts that I'd knitted flat and those that I'd knitted in the round. I was quite shocked, actually, because I'm not aware of any difference in my tension. It was a real sort of lesson to me to see that. My flat knitting is noticeably looser. When you look at it from the wrong side, the purl bumps, or the bumps that are in a row, they're further apart vertically than when I'm knitting in the round. And on the right side, the marl in the yarn comes out slightly differently. I suppose if you were using a completely block colour yarn, that wouldn't be noticeable. When I knit in the round, I knit with the yarn in my right hand. But when I knit flat, and I'm knitting on the purl side, I put the yarn in my left hand, and this is a legacy of how I always used to knit. I always used to knit with the yarn in my left hand, but I didn't have a nice continental technique. It was awful. I was about as dexterous as an elephant, and I deliberately changed my technique probably a couple of years ago now, so that I was looping the yarn round with my right hand, and I've got that sorted. I'm happy with that, and I can purl like that too. So I can knit with the yarn in my right hand all the time if I want to. What I can't do is knit with the yarn in my left hand all the time, because if I try to do any length of knit stitch with the yarn in my left hand, I'm all over the shop. It's terribly loose and hopeless. I don't find it so much of a problem if I'm doing stranded colour work, but I think that's because I'm putting the yarn, the way I do it, I'm putting the yarn down and picking up a different colour with such relative frequency that I stay on top of things in a way that I struggle to do when I'm just knitting with the same yarn all the time. As I was saying last time with this project, I was beginning to get quite a lot of pain in my left hand, and I was getting to the point where I could knit only a couple of rounds before I just had to stop. But then, I mean, I say only a couple of rounds, you know, you're talking probably 700 plus stitches, which it's nothing more than I would expect to be able to do in a sitting. I'd ideally expect to be able to do rather more than that, but still, it's more than a few, I suppose. So as I have this natural tendency to knit a row of purl with the yarn in my left hand, I was starting to do that deliberately because I thought it was mixing things up a bit for my hands, and I thought my left hand would be less uncomfortable if I was asking it to do something different from what it was doing on the right side. I thought this would just, the tension through my hand would be a little different, my fingers would be in a different position, and I hoped that this would allow me to keep going for longer and not have the discomfort, or not have as much discomfort. But as I now have a second bite at the cherry with these hems, I'm going to carry on putting the yarn in my right hand on the wrong side as well, and see if it means that the tension is much more comparable with the stocking stitch areas. When you look at the item on from the right side, I don't mind the fact that you get this slightly different effect from the looser tension on the collar area, because of course this hertz is, you start off knitting flat and then you join it just below the point of the V-neck and you knit in the round from there on. And I didn't notice, I just hadn't spotted on the inside this change in tension when I'd gone from knitting that part to knitting stocking stitch in the round for the body, but I certainly noticed it come the hem. But I don't mind it on that part. I think because certainly being somewhat on the busty side, you've got this kind of plane down the front till it hits the point of the bust and then it goes down again, and it doesn't seem wrong to have a slightly different effect on that part. It's not really noticeable particularly. It doesn't, certainly doesn't look odd or clangy, but I think I'd like it to just remain regular through the hem. So I'll make more of an effort to do that when I get back to that point. The other thing I've discovered is that sport weight isn't nearly as thin as I thought it would be. It's 75% cotton, 25% acrylic, this yarn, which is why I thought it would be appropriate for a summer weight, or at least a warm spring weight item. Not that we're having a warm spring at all at the moment. It's been really cold and windy for the last week. But when I tried the top on the other night, albeit briefly, I was astonished at how warm it felt. And I had exactly the same experience when I tried on Ivy for the first time, which is DK. I felt absolutely swaddled. So I'm less confident now that this is going to be a comfortable weight top to wear. But that's by the by. If I end up wearing it under a cardigan in the winter, then I do. The way things are going, I would actually have enough yarn left to knit a cardigan, which is quite an interesting idea. I don't know if there's be anything I could do to the Hertz pattern to carry on somehow knitting it in flat. Obviously, you can't knit a cardigan in the round, can you? So to carry on knitting it flat to make a cardigan rather than, or as well as a top, so I end up effectively making myself a Hertz twin set. And I do wonder whether, really being a bit busty and with my particular preferences for clothes and so on, whether in fact knitted block tops, as in a jumper, something like that, rather than something that opens at the front, I wonder whether that is really the most flattering route for me to go. So there we are. For now, I'm just going to stick with getting the hem at the right length and go from there. And after all of that, if I've finished the entire project next week, I'll do a proper pattern review. But in a way, I have finished it once already. I've just decided to go back and change it. So I should still be in a position to do a proper pattern review next time. Just quickly, ending on a quick note about dressmaking, I've embarked on my first venture, although I haven't so much as threaded a needle yet. I found a free pattern that I really liked. It was for a 3/4 circle skirt. It was knee length and it tied at the waist, and it had a nice, not a silly ruffliness, not like a little girly tutu, but it had, the fabric had a nice flow to it, the way it was cut. But it wasn't A-line. With my particular figure, A-line skirts make me look huge. They're not very flattering. But this pattern, specific pattern, the idea of this, the point they make, is it fits anybody, because you just run your measurements through this calculator and it tells you what size to cut all the bits. The problem is that this online calculator on which the pattern relies, it seems to be on a dead link. And that's a real shame. So I can't use that pattern, and there's nothing written in the pattern that tells you what the formula is that it uses. So I'm completely up a dead alley with that. It's a bit of a cautionary tale, really, about relying on an external utility that you have no control over when you release anything. I mean, it's the same as dead links in a blog post. You know, it's always a bit dicey. And I don't have any experience or judgment with dressmaking yet, so I wouldn't have a clue how to work that out for myself. So instead, I found a less swooshy skirt, and the one I found is at bigredcouch.com. It's very simple, and she makes the point all the way through. This is really simple and straightforward. Anyone can do it. The woman who's I say released the pattern, that's a bit grand, but the woman who's written this blog post, she has it down to such a fine art that she can go from 0 to 60 and have a completed skirt in 45 minutes, or slightly under 45 minutes. But what I found quite funny reading the comments on the pattern was people saying, oh my god, you know, it would take me that long to sew on the button. And I thought, yeah, you know, she's right that it is relatively quick and simple as these things go. Even I can see that. But it's making a lot of assumptions that you already know certain things, which is fair enough. She says in her blog post, she gives you the formula. She tells you the calculation to start off with your waist measurement and end up with the size of the piece of pattern that you need to cut, which is great. So my mum and I have done that. You end up with a triangle shape, and you cut one actual template. So I've done that out of newspaper, and I've reinforced it with parcel tape because newspaper's hell of a flimsy. And of course you're going to be pinning this to your material for cutting, and I could see that the newspaper wasn't going to stand 5 minutes of that. And then you cut three pieces like that from your templates. You've got three pieces exactly the same, and you seam them to make, you know, your large piece, and you go from there. But my mum's been making comments to me such as, when you cut your pattern piece, when you cut your material, make sure that your pattern is against an edge of your material, because that will make your material sit better. I wouldn't have done that. She said, don't put your newspaper in the middle of the piece of material you're cutting from. And that's the sort of thing, I don't know, that's the kind of mistake I'd have gaily walked into doing, and then wondered why my material wouldn't sit nicely. Anyway, the stage I'm at, I cut out last night the newspaper piece. Today I've reinforced it, and I've arranged to borrow my mum's dressmaking scissors. My mum has very wisely suggested that I get an old sheet, and I cut my pieces of fabric out of that, and we have a dry run on the sewing machine. And I haven't used a sewing machine since I was at school, and I'm 46. So that, in fact, gosh, yes, I must have left school. I mean, it's exactly 30 years ago. So that tells you everything you need to know about my sewing machine expertise. My mum was pretty surprised when I said I wanted to have a shot at this. So that's the stage where I'm seeing my mum tomorrow. I'm going to borrow her scissors then, and I've asked a fabric company to send me a couple of samples of some material that I like, because it's a bit hard, and again, this is my inexperience. But to be fair, my mum couldn't tell from the listing either, couldn't actually tell how heavy the fabric was going to be, because I'm not diaphanous enough to wear something diaphanous. So I found a material that I like, but I just need to check the weight. So that's where I'm at with that, really. While we were away, I had my 1 year anniversary, woo! And I listened back the other day to the first episode, always a big mistake, and every podcast that I've listened to will sooner or later make a comment to the dreadful sound quality and stilted delivery of their early podcasts, and mine are no different. So if you've been listening since the beginning, thank you very much for sticking with it. If you've joined me more lately, it's great to have you on board. So that's me for now. I will be back when knitting, sewing, children and business allow. And in the meantime, happy knitting and sewing. Bye.